title, The Unsaved Believers, there's a very famous preacher who I have very much respect for, and if it wasn't for this preacher, I wouldn't be here today. So, but there's a term going around on the internet, there's a term going around on Facebook, YouTube, and, you know, the title of this gentleman's sermon is called Unsaved Believers. And I've listened to it a number of times, and, you know, I'm kind of like a brain. Even though I know there's a preacher in front of me who is rightly dividing and sharing the gospel with people, you know, I'm always suspect of anybody who gets in front of me and talks. And the same should be true for all of you. You should be suspect of what I'm going to say. And as the Bereans, they were more noble than the Thessalonians because they searched the scriptures daily. Not once a week, but they searched the scriptures daily to see if what Paul was preaching was true. And I think, you know, that's one thing that I can't thank Jerry Lockhart enough.
Yes.
Was he never once gave me the impression that I'm just supposed to take whatever he says as the gospel truth, even though he was preaching the gospel truth. He always instilled, at least in me, I don't know about the other believers there, but he always instilled in me a desire to want to prove what was said in Scripture. And so, even if I hear a grace preacher who I admire or respect, I still want to take that step in comparing Scripture with what they've said. So, and I think it's important that we, especially as rightly dividers, grace preachers, whatever you'd have us be called, that we be careful that we don't double speak or double think when we're sharing the truths out of the Scripture. And, you know, in society, we find a lot of cases, mostly in government, that one word is exchanged for another word, and you get confused on the meaning of that word, and it makes it easier for them to slip something in underneath the under the radar that you're not suspecting. Which I'm not implying that this preacher has done, but I'm just saying in a general sense, when you double speak or use a word in a way that it wasn't originally meant to be used, that can happen. Let's turn to Ephesians chapter 1. And I guess what brought this about was I've been seeing on Facebook and YouTube, as I mentioned earlier, that I've seen a number of individuals state that it's not enough to believe the gospel of Christ. You have to trust Christ, or you have to trust that gospel rather than just believe it. And that got me to thinking, because when I've read the scriptures, belief and trust have always been kind of inseparable between one another. So, you know, it's funny that the Bible study I have here is actually going to cover a lot of scriptures that both of you touched on earlier. So it's going to be kind of fun. And that's the cool thing about God's Word, is it all just interlines with everything else. So in Ephesians chapter 1, we'll look at verse 13. And this is one of my favorite verses because, I mean, you know, we are so blessed and so special in the timeline of God's, the way He's working out with His children, that we actually have a seal placed upon us that myself, which I'm thankful for, cannot break. Because if it was possible, that would have been broken a long time ago, and it's not possible that you would break it. It's not possible that anything, you know, all the governments in the world can come against you, but they can't break the seal of the Holy Spirit. So, in verse 13, let's read right from the beginning. Well, let's start in verse 12. That we should be to the praise of His glory, who first trusted in Christ, in whom ye also trusted after that ye heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also after that ye believed, ye were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise. So what I wanted us to see in that verse is the trusted in whom ye also trusted. And then we also see the word trust in verse 12. After that ye heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also after that you believed. So in that verse, trust and believe are inseparable. They're almost the exact same thing. And if we jump down to verse 19, and what is the exceedingly, and what is the exceeding greatness of his power to usward who believe, according to the working of his mighty power. So again, the power, the gospel of Christ is the power of God unto salvation. So again, to those who believe, again, melding it back into the verse 12 and 13 where we see trust. So, what I want us to see here is that there is, again, individuals on Facebook who say that there's people who are, who say they're saved, but they're not really saved, because they've never trusted the gospel. They have only believed the gospel. And again, what I'm trying to show here is that those two things are the same thing. So we do a disservice not only to people who may not be believers, but also to believers, because we cause them to stumble and question their own salvation. And it is good to make sure that we are saved, but if you're saved, it's not good that you're going to question your salvation, because that's not a faith. So we need to make sure that when we speak to people, we make sure that we are not making them question something that they've already believed in the past. But the problem is that there is everybody in America and the world in general has heard in some different form or fashion that Christ came to the earth, that he died on a cross, and that he was buried, and that he rose again on the third day. Now, most of the world, I don't say every person in every geography area would know that, but most do. And so there's been an assumption that telling people that Christ died for your sins and was buried and rose again on the third day is not enough for people to believe, because everybody knows it, and if they knew it, they would be saved. Well, there's a difference between knowing and believing, and I'm going to show us that difference. Turn to Acts chapter 10. In Acts chapter 10, of course, this is the account which we've read once or twice already today, where Peter is going to Cornelius, the Roman centurion, who is a Gentile, who gave much alms to the people, and it's come up as a memorial before God. And so God sends Peter to the Gentile to share with him the word of God. And Acts chapter 10, we'll start off in verse 34. Verse 34, Acts chapter 10. Then Peter opened his mouth and said of a truth, I perceive that God is no respecter of persons, but in every nation he that feareth him and worketh righteousness is accepted with him. The word which God sent unto the children of Israel, preaching peace by Jesus Christ, he is Lord of all, that word I say ye know, which was published throughout all Judea. So what I want us to focus in on here is that the word that Peter's already preaching to them, he says they know it. They know it. It's been published throughout all of Judea. So I want us to keep that in our mind, that Peter says, filled with the Holy Ghost, that Cornelius knows this. published throughout all Judea and began from Galilee after the baptism which John preached, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power, who went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil, for God was with him. And if you want a summary of the Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, there's your summary in a sentence right there. And we are witnesses of all things which he did, both in the land of the Jews and in Jerusalem, which they slew and hanged on a tree. God Him God raised up the third day and showed him openly, not to all people, but unto witnesses chosen before God, even to us who did eat and drink with him after he rose from the dead. And he commanded us to preach unto the people and to testify that it is he which was ordained of God to be the judge of quick and dead. Verse 43, to him give all the prophets witness that through his name whosoever believeth in him shall receive remission of sins. Verse 44, while Peter yet spake these words, the Holy Ghost fell on them, on all of them which heard the word. So I want us to see the transition in verse 37 to verse 43. They knew it. Peter was telling them they need to believe it. And it's proof that they believed at that point because the Holy Ghost fell on. So I just want us to show the difference between knowing and believing. Now turn to Acts chapter 26. Acts chapter 26. We'll start in verse 22. Now, of course, in Acts chapter 26, we see that Paul is in bonds. He's got an opportunity to speak with King Agrippa. And he's in front of King Agrippa to basically explain to him why he's in bonds. So we'll start in verse 22. This is Paul speaking to King Agrippa. Having therefore obtained the help of God, I continue unto this day, witnessing both to great and small, saying none other things than those which the prophets and Moses did say should come. That Christ should suffer, and that he should be the first that should rise from the dead, and should shew light unto the people and to the Gentiles. And as he thus spake for himself, Festus said with a loud voice, Paul, thou art beside thyself, much learning doth make thee mad. But he said, I am not mad, most noble Festus, but speak forth the words of truth and soberness, for the king knoweth of these things before whom I also speak freely. For I am persuaded that none of these things are hidden from him, for this thing was not done in a corner. So, again, we want to focus in on verse 26. The king knoweth the things that Paul's already preaching to him. Why? Because we already saw in Acts chapter 10, it had been published in all Judea. Then we see in a few, I think it's a few more chapters, we see that the word of God is published throughout all the region. So, by that publishing, we know that Cornelius, a Gentile, knows the Word of God, or at least knows of Christ and what he accomplished in the four Gospels. And now we see King Agrippa, a Gentile king, who also knows of what the Word of God says. So verse 27, King Agrippa... this is Paul speaking to King Agrippa. King Agrippa, believest thou the prophets? I know thou believest. So we know Paul knows that he believes the prophets that have so far come up to this point to where Paul is preaching by his revelation of what Jesus Christ has revealed to him. Then Agrippa said unto Paul, almost thou persuadest me to be a Christian. So in other words, King Agrippa is saying, I almost believe. He knows it, and he almost believes. And, you know, personally, I hope he did believe later on, but that's not recorded in Scripture. But, again, two examples. They know. They just haven't believed. So, we know that a thing is established by two or three witnesses. So I just want to establish that. Where Paul preaches to people who either who know but haven't believed yet. So turn to Acts chapter 14. And what I want to show here is God does not have difficulty in determining who is a believer and who's not a believer. Because you never find in Scripture any term stating that there's unsaved believers. You either find there's a believer or there's people who don't believe. But you never find the term unsaved believer. So Acts chapter 14, We're going to start in verse 1. And it came to pass in Iconium that they went both together into the synagogue of the Jews, and so spake that a great multitude, both of the Jews and also the Greeks, believed. But the unbelieving Jews stirred up the Gentiles. So I just want to show you there's Jews and Greeks who believe, and there's also individuals who didn't believe. And God has no problem saying they're unbelieving. He didn't say they're unsaved believers. He said they're just unbelieving. Acts chapter 16. Acts chapter 16, verse 30. And verse 30. And this is Paul who is in prison, and the doors open on the prison during the middle of the night, and the keeper of the prison is about to kill himself because he thought everybody left. And then Paul yells out to him, and the jailer asks Paul in verse 30, and brought them out and said, "Sirs, what must I do to be saved?" And they said, "Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved, and thy house." And they spake unto him the word of the Lord, and to all that were in his house. And he took them the same hour of the night, and washed their stripes, and was baptized, he and all his straightway. And when he had brought them into the house, he set meat before them, rejoicing, believing in God with all his house. So again, we see that God knows how to use the word believe. Just reemphasizing that. Acts chapter 17. Acts chapter 17, we'll start in verse 1. Now when they had passed through Amphipolis and Apollonia, they came to Thessalonica, where was a synagogue of the Jews. And Paul, as a manner was, went in unto them, and 3 Sabbath days reasoned with them out of the Scripture, opening and alleging that Christ must needs have suffered and risen again from the dead, and that this Jesus whom I preach unto you is Christ. Verse 4, and some of them believed and consorted with Paul and Silas, and of the devout Greeks a great multitude, and of the chief women not a few. But the Jews which believed not moved with envy. So again, I just want to show in verse 4, there's individuals who believed. In verse 5, there's individuals who believed not. God does not say that they were unsaved believers. It's just that they were believing not. So, turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 15. And if there's anything that I am going to say today, this would probably be the most important thing that I could say, and that would be to declare unto you the gospel that saves us today. Mm-hmm. verse 1, chapter 15 of 1 Corinthians. Moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel which I preached unto you, which also you have received and wherein you stand, by which also you are saved. Comma. Verse 3. For I delivered unto you first of all that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day according to the Scriptures. So right there, that is a summary of the gospel that Paul preached to everybody that he spoke with, whether it be in the synagogue or whether it be to the Gentiles outside of the synagogue. That was the gospel that he preached to people. And he says that you can be saved by simply believing that for yourself. He says that in verse 1 there, they received it. So they believed it, they received it. They took it to themselves. You know, it's like, as God says many times, he gives you a free gift. Well, often use the illustration, at Christmas, you know, a family member can hand you a gift. And you have the option to either say no thank you, or you have the option to take it and unwrap it and receive that gift. So So is it with the gospel of Christ, that we can either reject that free gift or we can receive it. And so I want to just finish with Acts chapter 13. Jump back to Acts chapter 13. Acts chapter 13, and we'll be in verse 41. Behold, ye despisers, and wonder, and perish. For a work in your days, a work which you shall in no wise believe, though a man declare it unto you. So, we have God telling these people here that he is going to declare unto them something, but they're not going to believe it. So again, what I wanted to finish out with was that, for us as ambassadors, or us as preachers or teachers, it's important that we share the Word of God with the words correctly stated as they're stated in the Scripture. Whereas there is, in God's eyes, there's believers and there's non-believers, but there's no term in here or definition of an unsaved believer. And I think what happens is, for those of us, and I've had this mentioned to me a number of times, and I've had somebody causing a problem with this with other individuals, is they get them to doubt what they've already trusted. And, it's good to make sure that you have been saved. Yes, it's good to make sure, examine yourself, but it's not good to have somebody who is trusting to make them doubt about their salvation because of the words we use. And I think sometimes when we use the word unsaved believer, somebody who's thinking to themselves, well, I have believed that Christ died for my sins. I have believed that he rose again on the third day. I have believed that he died, he paid the price for all my sins. And I believe that he was buried and rose again on the third day for my justification. And then when when they hear that term unsaved believer, they say, oh, well, maybe I didn't believe enough, or maybe I didn't, say the right words, or maybe, we can go on and on with that, with what might be transpiring there. So I just want us to be careful about how we say things to people, how we present things to people, and that's basically the message I had today. And hope it was a blessing, and hope that it edifies the body of Christ.